I want to share with you this morning some things concerning the Word of God. And again, I want to read Psalm 19 because it speaks to me about the awesome Word of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Keeping the word of the Lord, there is great reward. You know, there's two things that are really strange in the world. One in the world, probably one in the church. One of the strangest things to me in the world system and in the educational system with our children is that many will go through their schooling, grade 12, and then to secondary education, and come out with a degree. And many of them will go through that without any teaching on one of the things that has a major effect in their lives, and that is the handling of finances or being able to handle a budget or anything like that. And it seems that just seems strange to me in the society that we live in. I guess it's the it's set so away that if we are ignorant in these things, then we the world system can begin to manipulate us and begin to, we'll be in debt to them. The other strange thing probably I might see in the system of Christianity or in the system of the church is that so often the concept of getting a hold of and understanding and reading and meditating on the Word of God is not held to the high degree that it should be. Notice there in this psalm, it says, the word of the Lord really is more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And by keeping them, there is great reward. But yet so often, we kind of haul back a little bit and don't know much about the word of God at all. The world is ignorant sometimes in finances, and the church is ignorant when it comes to the word of God a lot. Well, amen, Pastor, that's true anyway. You know, I heard one fellow say, everybody has the right to be stupid, but there are those who take the privilege a little bit too far. And I think that's true. And sometimes, we can be ignorant if we want to be ignorant. Scripture says, let them be ignorant still. In the end days, that's what's going to happen. But you and I are in a place today where we don't have to be. We can take the word of God and do some awesome things with it if we'll understand the truth of it and how it imparts life to us. And some of us like to think we, and even declare sometimes that we will take the word of God and study it and so forth. But I actually think that a large portion of the church, and there'll never be anybody in this church, or anybody that's listened to me, but there are some that would probably fall in this category of this door-to-door salesman from a publishing company asked the lady if she owned a copy of the Bible. She said, I certainly do. Very proud, she replied. To his next question, did she read it regularly? She responded, oh yes, and sent her little daughter to get the Bible from the table drawer. As she showed it to the man, her spectacles fell from between the pages. Without thinking, she said, oh, my glasses, I've been looking for them for 3 years. Sometimes we can be caught in our own deceit. And so many times that's what happens. When we are in deceit, it's usually, our own doing. But we want to take a look at how important the Word of God is this morning. We want to look at that critically. And I hope that as we finish, that the Word of God will have a new place in our lives. The Word of God will become a part of our daily, not only our daily appetite, but our daily consumption. The Word of God will become something that we will feel that we can't go without throughout the day without getting the Word of God into us one way or another. Well, first of all, 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, all scripture, everybody say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration. In other words, the scriptures are inspired by God. In other words, God has put his seal upon the scriptures. And all scripture, it is good for instruction, it is profitable for teaching and correction. So if we need correction in our lives, and most of us do need correction quite often, we can go to the scriptures, because there is a capability, a power in the scriptures to be able to give us instruction. Now also, John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we can look, excuse me. Well, in my Bible, all Jesus' words are in red. You know, lots of you people probably have Bibles or Jesus' words in red. And that's great, wonderful. And so Jesus is saying, first of all, he's saying, I want to say that everything I'm saying, they are spirit and they are life. Is it just me that thinks I'm too loud here? It's just me that thinks I'm too loud, okay? Okay, I'll leave it up to the sound man then. Okay, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And so, by listening and reading and meditating on Jesus' word, there is something called life. That's the word that we use anyway in the English translation. But that word life there is from the Greek word zoe, and it actually means a life that flows from God, or a God kind of life. So when we read the word that Jesus said, we can expect to receive a life that God lives by, or a part of God's life. In other words, there are things that will flow into us from God. My words are spirit and they are life. They are zoe. They are the God kind of life. They are an ability that can be imparted to you. God uses Jesus' words as a vehicle to impart to us his life. You remember when God made Adam and Eve and he formed the man on the ground, the dust of the ground, and he blew into their nostrils, and it said that he breathed into them the breath of life. Well, we are to continually to live by the breath of God. Not just one time. We can't just breathe in God once, and not any more than you can breathe in air once and expect to stay alive. If you're going to expect to stay in contact with God, then you're going to have to breathe him in continually. You're going to have his life imparted to us continually, and we do that by the words of the Word of God. See how important that is, to have the Word of God on a daily basis? It's like air to us. It fills our very being. Life comes into us, and we begin to experience God in a new and fresh way. Now listen to this. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, word sanctify simply means to set apart, put your hand upon. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So again, the word of God is truth. And God separates us by his truth. Let's read that from the Amplified Bible. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So we get separated, we get consecrated, we get purified, we get close to him, we get holy by his word. Again, all these things come from his word. Jesus makes us holy. You remember the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who had no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in him. It doesn't read like that in scripture, but I make it personal. So I become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Well, am I going to be able to be the righteousness of God in Jesus if I don't have Jesus in me by his word? When he said that he's going to consecrate us, he's going to make us holy by his word. So we're going to have his word. We're going to have his word. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Talking about the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of the water by the word. So here the word is used in washing us as a church, as a people of God, washes us. The word washes us, cleanses us. Well, what would you think about, you know, this lady who never read her Bible in 3 years because she was looking for her spectacles? If you did that in the natural, and you get up one day and, you know, you washed, you took a shower, and you cleaned up really good, and then you never did that again for 3 years, you'd be pretty stinky, wouldn't you? You couldn't get too close to all. You wouldn't want to be very close to them at all. Well, this can happen to us spiritually if we refuse to read the Word of God, if we don't take the Word of God in continually. If we are not using the Word of God the way we use things that we wash with, water. You know, how often do we need to cleanse? Well, think about that. We are in a world that the Bible says there's the God of this world, the devil, who is ruling and reigning, and he's doing everything he can to take God's creation and destroy it. And you and I are God's creation, so the devil is trying to destroy you and I, and he's trying to pervert us, he's trying to get us to look like him. God said, in Genesis, that he made man in his likeness and in his image, so God wants us to look like him. But the devil is doing everything he can to make us look like him. So we have to continually take the word of God and wash with the word, cleanse ourselves with the word of God continually. You cannot live a vibrant Christian experience having any kind of fruit in your life whatsoever without having a daily, without your diet including the Word of God on a daily basis. We must, absolutely must, take the Word of God and use it continually. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth, purifying the soul. So that's another way that we purify the soul or purify the realm that we live in, our mind, will, and emotions, by obeying the truth. Notice now it's not just reading the word. It's not just getting the word into us, but there's now and obeying. So we must know the word and obey it and have our souls purified in that way. You know, something that's impure can cause a lot of trouble. Something that's impure can really mess things up. Now, you know how in Prince Edward Island, we've all heard so many times that there's some oil leaks that took place in, home oil leaking and people have cost them tens of thousands of dollars to have it cleaned up. And so we have an oil tank here, and we want to inspect it every once in a while. So we want to inspect it again this year, and I got the bright idea. Well, what about the rest of the fuel that's in the oil tank? So I got the bright idea. Well, let's just take it out. We'll drain it out, and we've got to do something with it, so we'll just put the fuel in the tractor as we cut the lawn, and we'll do it that way. So my bright idea was to start pumping the oil out of the tank and put it into a can, put it in the tractor. Now, Claude taught me something. Claude told me that at his work, it doesn't make any difference if anything goes wrong, long as you've got somebody to blame for it. That's what he says. I don't know if that works or not. So Claude sucked the oil out of the tank. And he got it from the bottom of the tank. And so we took that in and we put it in the tractor. And then Claude was cutting grass one day. And he comes back and he says, the tractor's not running. The tractor quit. Well, yeah, we soon found out that there was a whole bunch of water and sludge and everything else on the bottom of that tank, and that got into the tractor tank. And so we had to drain everything out of there and take the filters off and do all that. And we had a lot of fuel in the tank, so we had to drain the whole thing and put it in buckets and put it by in the shop and just left it there. And after about a week, all the dirt came to the bottom. and we were able to take that fuel from the top, suck it off from the top, right, just leave that much in the bottom with all the sludge and dirt in the bottom, and it didn't affect the tractor at all. Put it in there, worked great. You know, sometimes you and I, we go through life, and there are things that happen in our lives that need to be purified. There are things that happen in our lives that are there, and if they're stirred around, they'll give us a lot of problems. When this fuel was left in those buckets and all the stuff filtered to the bottom, it was great, long as you didn't work the thing up. You had to be careful in taking the good fuel out, because if you moved it around at all, then the dirt would get everywhere and again cause problems. And you and I have things in our lives many times that we haven't completely got rid of, and we have to be careful not to stir them up. Because if we stir them up, they will pollute our lives and cause problems. They'll cause us to shut down and go nowhere. So we have to be careful about that. And in studying the Word of God, taking it into our heart, hearing the Word of the Lord, then these things begin to settle way down and eventually swept off. Eventually swept off and burned. God wants us to purify our lives with the Word of God. Now, John 8:33. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples." Isn't that interesting? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples. He does not say, "If I abide in you." He says, "If you abide in my word." So we have a responsibility there, don't we? We have to. Our responsibility is to get a hold of His Word, abide in His Word, stay in His Word, live by His Word. If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. John 14:24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So one of the things that we know, that the words of Jesus came from the Father. And so even if we say, okay, I don't have to obey Jesus because, you know, the Father is God. Well, everything Jesus said came from the Father. And so if we're not obeying Jesus, we're not obeying the Father. The two are one. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear are not mine, but the Father's. Now, let's go to John chapter 15. Let's read there a little bit. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now for years, that word that in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, I used to think, you know, I had all kinds of thoughts about what the fruit was that Jesus was talking about here. And I was sure I wasn't bearing it. I was sure I wasn't producing much of it, whatever it was. Did you ever get that way, where you think maybe you're not producing much fruit in your life? And it seemed like he's going to take us away. Well, that word takes away there is the Greek word airo, A-I-R-O. And it actually means to elevate. It actually means to lift up. And the description I heard about it is that when they were growing grapes in the Middle East, and they grow them on vines, and sometimes a vine will fall over into the dark side and not get much sun. And they will pick up that vine and lift it up and put it in a place so it can get some sun. And that word there, arrow, would be used. That enable to lift that vine up so it gets some sun, so it can produce some fruit. So when if we're in a place of fruitlessness, that doesn't mean God's thrown us away. He's saying, I want to lift you up. I want to get you into a place. I want the S-O-N to shine on you so that you will become fruitful. And as we take the word of God, then the S-O-N is shining on us, and we live according to his word, we will become very fruitful. So that word is key in understanding Jesus' grace and mercy for us. Another example I heard explaining this word was this: the Greek, in the Greek, there was this Greek family who were shipbuilders, and, well, actually, there was a man who I studied after. He read Greek a lot, and he was telling me one day he was in his office and he had this note. He was always studying his Greek language and he had this written down on a piece of paper on his desk. And this lady came in the office and she was a lady from Greece and she kind of noticed that and he noticed her look at it and smile, the word that he had written. And he said, "Oh, are you familiar with that word?" And she said, "Well, yes, I am. I haven't heard it for a long time, but I am familiar with that word." And he said, "Well, tell me what it means." And she said, "Well, the time I remember hearing it the most was our father is very aged now. He's been in the shipbuilding business for many, many years. And every time we get into a place where we're ready to launch a ship, the ship comes off the slip, and it seems like, almost seems like when it comes down, it's going to sink. And then it comes back up." And so he said, "When my father, we'd take him out there in a wheelchair, we'd set him on the harbor when we're ready to launch the ship, and whenever that ship would go down, he'd say, 'Arrow, arrow, arrow.'" Now, I'm not pronouncing it right, but that's what he would say. Lift up, float, go. And so that's what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, if we are in a place of fruitlessness, he wants to lift us up, put us in a place where we can go, where we can grow in the things of God and become fruitful. Now, verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word." Everybody say word. "Because of the word which I have spoken." So here again, the word has to do with our cleansing. The word of God has to do with our cleansing. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Now, we can say, "Oh yes, Jesus, we realize that. Without you we can't do anything, can't do a thing." But Jesus is really saying, without my word you can't do nothing. And if you don't have his word, you don't have him. You know, there's no sense in trying to sugarcoat it any other way. If you don't have the word of God, you don't have Jesus. If you haven't got a word from the Lord somewhere, sometime, if you haven't gotten this word in you somehow, you haven't got him. And if we have got something a long time ago, then the devil has been doing everything to rob it out of you. And so we have to get it in there again. Hang on to it. It's real. "I am the vine, you are the branches." Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." Now, this is really interesting, cast out as a branch. You know, sometimes, you ever prune a tree? I've noticed sometimes we can look around, actually around here pretty quickly, and we can see some healthy trees but a dead branch on it. You can see healthy trees that look real good, and then off on the side you'll see one that's kind of diseased or there's something wrong with it, it looks like it's dead. And before that ever died, you never even noticed that it was sick, did you? I mean, you wouldn't until it started to show up. Well, that happens to us many times as Christians. You know, when we get away from the Lord, when we continue abiding in the Lord, we begin many times to wither. We don't first notice it. But after a while, as we continue, the evidence of that withering begins to show up. The evidence of that begins to really show up, not only to yourself, because we can deceive ourselves into thinking we're all right, but to others also. And we begin to see it, and Jesus said, then what happens? It's cut off, it's cast out, and is thrown into the fire and is burned. Abiding in Jesus is absolutely so crucial. And we can't abide in him if we do not abide in his word. Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now, that's a powerful statement. It really is. I believe Jesus was able to say that because he knew that if we would abide in him the way he's talking about, if we would live in him the way he's talking about, that we would begin to think like he thinks. We would begin to have the same attitude that he has. We wouldn't ask for things that he wouldn't be willing to give us. We wouldn't ask for things that, in other words, we'd know his heart. And if we're abiding in him, if we get a hold of him. What's it mean to abide? Well, I did write a definition or a few words concerning it. Let me read them to you for a moment. abide, it means to remain, do not depart, to continue to be present. It is to endure, to sustain, to withstand without yielding or submitting, to abide a vigorous onslaught. In other words, if something is coming against you to try to throw you off, to abide with Jesus means to hang on and to stay through it. Don't allow that thing to put you aside. It means to wait, to abide for the coming of the Lord. You know, we say that the Lord is going to return one day. He's going to come in the clouds for his church one day. And to abide means to simply wait and expect, realize that he is coming back, never give up. To accept without opposition or question. To abide the verdict of the judge. To accept without opposition. This is this whole element of abiding with Jesus we cannot do without walking by faith. Why? Because there's some things we're going to just, it's going to look like we're going to lose if we do the things that Jesus wants us to do. It's going to look like that. But faith will say, no, I'm best staying with Jesus. And to abide with him, does that mean that we all do the same thing? I don't believe that at all. I believe what it means is that each one of us has a calling. Each one of us has a place in him. And God wants us to walk in his principles within the calling that he has called us. Let's say one day God said, okay, I need a radio man. And so we got Nicholas. And Nicholas, now in order to abide in Christ, Nicholas has to use these abilities to express the life of Christ in his life. Now God said another day, he said, I need a fisherman. So he pulls Robert up. And he wasn't much of a fisherman to start. I seen when he started. He used to drown his trucks. Yeah. But he's gonna make a fisherman out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's gonna build in Robert everything that God desires within him. He starts with what he's got and he begins to work. Now, although these two guys are both can be abiding in Christ, living with him, being like him, but not really looking like each other or doing the same thing. But the principles of the kingdom have to be worked out. Now, God says another, God needs a politician. Charlie, come on. God needs a politician one day. And so he takes a politician. God, no, we need a lot of God politicians. And now he puts Charlie in a place of being a politician. Okay, what does that mean? How do I abide in Christ in being a politician? How do I abide in Christ in being a radio announcer? How do I abide in Christ in being a fisherman? Well, the only way we can do that is get Jesus into our lives in such a way that we can stand there as a politician and think, Jesus, how would you deal in this situation? How would you influence these people that I'm with? How can you influence me through this way? Influence them through me. I just remember reading just recently about an older guy, and he was asked, "How do you get prepared to go to the church on Sunday morning?" And he said, "Well, I get all dressed, get all cleaned up, and ready to go. Then I sit down and thank Jesus for a while, and then I get up and go to worship." I thought that's a pretty good idea. Wonder how many of us start our day off, come to church by thinking Jesus. Thinking Jesus. Not thinking necessarily about Jesus, but thinking like Jesus. And so we have a politician, we have a radio guy, we have a fisherman, and they can all be abiding in Christ, but all doing different things. All demonstrating Christ in their lives in a different fashion. You know, you could take a school teacher, a doctor, lawyer, anybody, and they can still abide in Christ and do what God has called them to do. But without the abiding in Christ, this politician is not going to know what to do when he gets himself in a jam. And he will. But abiding in Jesus was never left for words. He was never, when the opposition came against Jesus and even the Pharisees and so forth came to Jesus and they said, "What are we going to do with this woman? We caught her in adultery. The law says that we are to stone her." Now, Jesus didn't immediately talk, did he? He didn't say anything, really. He knelt down and kind of played on the ground a little bit. The Bible says he kind of wrote some things in the sand. He thought for a while. I believe he was down there. Father, what am I going to say here? These people are trying to kill this person. And I'm in a jam. I need your help. Now remember, Jesus walked this earth as a man. So he had to hear from the Father. And this is what he was doing, asking them. And then he stood up and made the most brilliant statement. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. An absolute brilliant statement. He knew what to say in every situation. Well, politicians are stuck sometimes, knowing what to say. You know, he can sit by. I'm sure sometimes you get somebody to say something to you and think, okay, I'm darned if I say this and I'm darned if I say that. So what am I going to say? Well, you need to hear from God. And that's the importance of abiding in Christ, to be able to hear what the Lord is saying. The fisherman, he's fishing. Everybody else is saying, I don't know how many times Robert has told me this over the years, that people would, they started off the year, it's not going to be a good year this year. Oh, yeah, we had a lot of cold winter. The oysters are way down the mud. And, you know, they're not going to give us much for them anyway. And Robert, I know the things that he would say, well, you're not going to have a good year maybe, but I'm going to. I'm going to have a good year. So he just spoke out. He allowed Jesus in him to speak in what he was believing for, as opposed to agreeing with the world. And if Christ is going to abide in us, we are going to have to be in a place where we're not going to be in agreement with the world all the time. We're going to butt heads. And when we do that, we're counting on God to make us look good in the end. Really. But we can abide in him in every situation. Thanks a lot, guys. You don't look the same. You're a little different. Abide in Christ. And so it means that we can do whatever God is calling us to. You know, there was this crazy thought many years ago. There was this crazy thought, if you were really, 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 really going to serve God, if you're really going to do something for God, you're going to have to be some kind of preacher. And, you know, if somebody said, you know, they really, really love God and they really want to work for God and so forth, that automatically they go to Bible school, blah, blah, and get all this done and come out some kind of clone or some kind of denomination and really not go too far. No, we have to say, God, what do you want me to do? If God is calling us somebody to be a fisherman, then don't stoop to be a preacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you're hearing me, because what you're doing, what God has called you to, is a calling that you're going to have to give an answer to, just as much as I'm going to have to give an answer to it for the office that I stand in. You're going to have to give an answer before God. If you're a housewife, you're a mother, you're going to have to give an answer to God, how you did that. Did you abide in Christ while raising those kids? Did you abide in Christ while keeping the house? Did you abide in Christ when you were a school teacher? Did you abide in Christ in whatever profession you're in? We will all give an answer one day, no matter what it is. And your position is just as important as anyone else's position. Abiding in Christ is so crucial. Now, John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, Jesus never asked us to do anything that he didn't do. He never asked us to do something that he didn't do or we couldn't do. He only asked us what he already paved the way for. Listen to this. In Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, means Jew or Gentile, is of any importance, but faith working through love. And we talk a lot about faith here, and we realize that it must work through love. We have to have this place of walking in love in order to activate our faith. And walking in love is walking with Jesus. 1 John 5:4 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we receive this victory through our faith." So in other words, we are able to stand against all the tactics of the enemy because of our faith that works through love that we get from the Father. Remember, Scripture talks about how the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts? That's not only talking about how much God loves us. He's talking about the God kind of love has been deposited within our hearts. And that God kind of love then stimulates our faith. The things that we are believing God for must come on the wings of that God kind of love. And then we begin to believe God. The word of God is so precious. It is so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, the Bible says that when all the people came, the demon-possessed people came to him, and the Bible says that he cast them out with a word. He spoke to those demonic forces. He spoke a word, and they had to bow their knee. And he is calling us today to walk in the word of God in such a way when a demon tries to come and get a hold of our children, we're able to speak a word. We're able to speak with the authority of Jesus Christ against the demonic forces that would try to hinder and destroy our people, to try to bring sickness and disease, to try to destroy our marriages. We need to be able to come with the word of the Lord. I remember hearing one time about this couple who they were having a good relationship. Apparently they had a good marriage. Then something happened one day, and this lady just decided that she didn't want to be married no more. And actually, it was I heard Brother Hagin tell this story, and it's kind of interesting because, well, I take that back. I'm not sure where I heard it. But anyway, this preacher was telling the story, and he said she came to me and said, or this man came to me and said, you know, I don't know what's happened to her. And so the preacher said, well, I'll talk to her. And he came out of there and said, man, I don't know. She wants out of this relationship. I just can't see anything. And he didn't really say much to the man. But the man said, I'm not going to let her go. I'm not going to let her go. She had already moved out and got another apartment at that time. And he went there and he went into her apartment. And she went into the bedroom, wouldn't come out. He stood there all night and walked the living room floor praying, declaring the word of God over the situation all night. And coming on in the morning sometimes, her testimony after was, something happened where something just left me. And she said, I thought, what am I doing? I love my husband. I don't want to be separated from my children this way. What am I doing? She said, something just completely left her. And she began to think clearly. That man just began to declare the word of the Lord over this period of time and stood in faith continually to save his marriage. And as a result, his marriage was saved. See, the word of the Lord is powerful, folks. It really is. We must not neglect. I believe that every Christian should have, in some fashion, a daily devotion time with the Lord. Reading his word one way or another. Get it into you. Whether you do that before you go to work in the morning, whether it's a tape that you put in the vehicle when you're going, whether get the word of God into us one way or another. It doesn't always have to be necessarily coming off the scripture pages. It can be listening to teaching and preaching and so forth. But get the word of God deep down within, so it'll grab a hold of us so that we can live by it. The word of God will do us absolutely no good if we simply read it and never put it into practice. You and I are commissioned by God to take his word and obey it. And Jesus talked about obeying the law. Really? I'm not talking about the Old Testament law, but God's law. I know, Pastor, you might say, we're in the New Testament now. We don't live by laws. Do you ever have a hear tell of a kingdom where there was no laws? What kind of a kingdom would that be if there was no laws, if there was no boundaries? What kind of a kingdom, what kind of a king would ever suggest to his subjects, just do whatever you want? Whatever feels good, do it. Everything be okay. Well, you know, that's not right. No, the kingdom of God has boundaries that is set around. And you and I are required to walk by them. If we do, we'll reap the benefits of walking in the kingdom. And one of the benefits is he forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. We can declare the word of the Lord over every aspect of our lives. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but maybe you have to take a little time and read what the Word of God says about your situation. Read what the Word of God says about what you're dealing with, and then begin to declare what he says about your situation. Why don't you stand with me, please? I've endeavored to get across this morning some things that I hope that we can take and put into practice, that we can begin to take the look at the Word of God in a new and fresh light. Folks, there are lots of churches in Christendom that don't believe this book, that they claim to be in Christendom that don't believe this book. They don't believe that it's the Word of God. They laugh at the thought that of the story of Jonah. There's lots of churches that think, yeah, it's a good book, and Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God. Well, I want to declare to you with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. He's alive today. And this word can be taken as something to stand on that will be profitable throughout our lives. And that without Jesus Christ, the only thing that the world has to look forward to is a place called hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That is very real. Jesus spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. He warned the people that unless they repent, they will all perish. You and I have given an opportunity. We've been given the word of the Lord that declares that we must repent. Now, folks, I'm not talking about just repent enough to get into heaven. I'm talking about getting the junk out of our lives. Unforgiveness. Lying. Walking in something less than integrity. That's got to go if we're ever going to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. Father, I thank you so much for your kindness. Lord, you have been so good to us in giving us your word. We thank you that your word imparts life to us. We are so blessed, God. And Lord, I just think about how you love us this day, how you love each and every one in this place, God, and how you have done everything that you can possibly do to draw us closer to you, that we might experience all the benefits of the kingdom of God. And we thank you for the privilege of being involved in seeing the kingdom of Jesus Christ advance. And we pray, Father, that we might have wisdom of how to have greater fruitfulness in advancing the kingdom of God. Father, I pray, God, that each parent would be stirred in their spirits of how they must teach their children a pattern of getting the Word of God into their lives. I pray, Father, that they would take serious the exhortation given in Deuteronomy to teach the children the ways of the Lord. God, that they might have something that would be an anchor in their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I see that your word is so clear in saying that Jesus has overcome the world and everything in the world, overcome the enemy. And Father, I believe that that includes all the tactics that the enemy uses to try to hold your people back. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we, like Jesus, call sickness an oppression of the devil. So therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, we stand against every sickness and every disease and declare that it is a defeated foe. Because of what Jesus has done. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just speak healing to every individual here in this place, God. In the name of Jesus, healing would come wherever healing is needed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the anointing to heal. We praise you for that now in the name of Jesus Christ. Open our hearts, Father, to receive.